Blog Talk Radio.
Bulletin 11 Translation. Asteroid Moon. In June 1997, the German Research Agency for Aeronautics and Space Travel, DLR, announced the discovery of a small moon in close proximity to the asteroid Dionysus. This announcement of the two discoverer astronomers generated a small scientific sensation because the only previous irrefutable identification of an asteroidal moon had come from NASA's National Aeronautic and Space Agency space probe Galileo. The astronomers, Gerhard Hahn and Stefano Mottola from the Berlin Institute for the Research of Planets, were successful in discovering the moon because they noticed fluctuations of light as they were studying Dionysus. The theoretical likelihood of moons or other satellites orbiting asteroids has been predicted now for quite some time. Billy's second moon of Earth. Research into Earth's close and distant surroundings revealed that a second, much smaller moon is trailing Earth on a complicated track around the Sun. Astronomer Paul A. Wiegert of the Department of Physics and Astronomy, York University, Ontario, Canada, reports that the recently discovered mini moon is an asteroid 5 kilometers, 3.1 miles, in diameter. To the naked eye, this mini moon appears invisible as it moves around the Earth in a horseshoe orbit. The approximately one-year orbital period for this second Earth companion is strongly influenced by our planet. Saturn and its two satellite moons, Janus and Epimetheus, form a similar configuration with their triangular celestial body pattern. The asteroid, respectively mini-moon, is known as 3753. Every 385 years it approaches the Earth to within 12 million kilometers, 7.5 million miles, approximately 31 times the mean distance from Earth to the Moon. For this reason, the threat of a collision with our planet is virtually non-existent, even though this chunk repeatedly intersects Earth's orbit. Calculations reveal that the last close encounter occurred more than 100 years ago, and that in 1998 the minimum distance to the asteroid Moon will be 50 million kilometers, 31 million miles, or approximately 130 times the mean distance from Earth to the Moon. According to some calculations, and in spite of its complicated orbit, asteroid 3753 has allegedly already been Earth's faithful companion for several millions of years. However, the Pleiadians/Plejarians have stated that the chunk has only orbited the Earth in its present position for approximately 75,000-80,000 years, from the time when planet Melona or Phaeton, respectively, was destroyed. Billy's discovery of a planetoid beyond Pluto The United States scientists have discovered a new planetoid that travels around the Sun on a profoundly elliptical orbit. This confirms statements made by the Pleiadians/Plejarians, who have said that our solar system's periphery extends much further into interplanetary space than terrestrial astronomers have assumed. As they investigated regions beyond Pluto's planetary orbits, astronomers discovered the celestial object, which has an approximate diameter of 500 kilometers, 310 miles. They estimate that the planetoid, while orbiting the Sun, could distance itself up to 20 billion kilometers, 12.5 billion miles, from the Sun. This would amount to more than three times the distance between the Sun and Pluto, with an average distance of 5.95 billion kilometers, 3.7 billion miles, while the distance between the Sun and Earth is calculated as a mere 152 million kilometers, 94 million miles. The planetoid bears the temporary name 1996 TL66, which indicates that it was actually discovered in 1996. Though astronomers realize that it differs from the approximately three dozen known ice and rock chunks discovered during the past 5 years in the Pluto orbital region and beyond, they have not revealed how it is different. The region beyond Pluto's orbit where these planetoids travel is known as the Kuiper Belt, named after Mr. Cooper, its Dutch discoverer. Chunks within this belt are considered to be its own fragments that travel on a noticeably more circular orbit around the Sun than the newly discovered planetoid. Worth repeating here are remarks made by the Pleiadians/Plejarians, who have stated that the outer fringe of the Kuiper Belt extends farther into interstellar space than terrestrial astronomers are assuming. See above. This fact, in particular, demonstrates that scientists also erred about the material cloud from which originated, many tens of billions of years ago. Not a mere 8, 10, 12, 15 or 18, the Sun and Earth, along with other planets and the two quasi-suns Saturn and Jupiter. I was told the material cloud is incredibly larger and far richer in mass than terrestrial scientists have surmised until now, and it extends immensely farther into interstellar space. Billy Star, Corpse, Black Hole, Baby Stars, published reports in May 1997 indicate that the Hubble Space Telescope was able to take sensational photographs of the corpse of a star, respectively a gas ring which is a remnant of the explosion of a distant sun. The Hubble telescope also located a black hole 300 times larger than our Sun. And in one section of the Orion Nebulae the telescope discovered baby stars ejecting gas jets into space. Another report reveals that Hubble detected in the M84 galaxy yet another black hole with a mass it may seem hard to believe at least 300 million times that of our mother Sun. Billy discovery of a planet discoveries of previously unknown planets are becoming increasingly more frequent now. One recent announcement reported that American astronomers have discovered yet another planet the size of Jupiter, nearly 50 light-years from Earth. The planet, orbiting the fixed star Rho Coronae Borealis, has an external temperature of 200-260°C, 392-500°F, and would be, therefore, not conducive to life as we know it. Billy cloud of antimatter. According to information from the American Space Agency, NASA, a cloud of antimatter 4,000 light-years wide, was recently discovered in the Milky Way. William Purcell, scientist and member of the discovery team, commented that the origin of this new and unexpected source of antimatter is very mysterious. The antimatter cloud was discovered when scientists used energy analyzers to explore space from a NASA gamma ray observatory. Another antimatter cloud was found approximately 3,000 light-years from the Milky Way in a region of space of which terrestrial scientists continue to claim that it is totally devoid of anything. Their claim runs counter to that of the Pleiadians/Plejarians, who insist no regions exist in space which are completely empty. Even in those areas terrestrial scientists assert a void, there are some clouds of matter, at the very least, and therefore no empty regions exist in space. Billy Galactic, Fountain. At the end of April, single quote 97, various media sources reported the following: in the center of the Milky Way there bubbles a fountain. This announcement refers to a discovery made by American astronomers using a satellite observatory. As a rule, explosions or shots and the like are portrayed completely erroneously in sci-fi movies. When spaceships, stars, suns or planets explode in such space movies, or when shots are fired and the guns bang for all they're worth, the event is always associated with a huge racket in form of detonations, crashing noises, hissing, and so forth. The same applies to those scenes which show antimatter hitting matter, where, just as with the explosions, there is a monumental series of flashes. Although such misrepresentations do not occur in every sci-fi film, they usually do, but wherever there is a rule, there is always an exception. Well then, whatever the reason, tremendous lightning flashes may occur in the vacuum of space. But due to the lack of a sound-carrying atmosphere, no detonations, hissing or the like is ever generated. In space even the most spectacular explosion remains completely silent. The Compton Satellite Observatory, from where the Milky Way's central fountain was discovered, has no interest therefore in picking up banging or exploding sounds in space, but is searching for gamma flashes, which are generated when material particles impact antimatter particles. And this is precisely what continuously takes place at the center of our Milky Way, a phenomenon terrestrial scientists have suspected for quite some time, where they expect to find a large positron cloud, which is expanding on the same level of our disc-shaped Milky Way, respectively, galaxy. Within antimatter are positrons, the electrons' antiparticles, carriers of electricity, and elements of the atom's outer shell. When positrons impact electrons, they obliterate each other at lightning speed. To their amazement, astronomers saw not only one but two clouds, of which the second one acts as a type of antiparticle fountain when it vertically ejects vast amounts of positrons into space to our galaxy's level. Arnold Benz, astronomy professor at the Swiss Technical College of Electronics, F. Obsrich, reported that the entire phenomenon came as quite a surprise and the discovery would indicate a black hole as the source of the shaft of light. The astronomers declared that their explanation for the phenomenon may be but one of several because the source of the fountain could be the result of a string of exploding stars/suns, a situation which could also create antiparticles. Another theory put forth by the scientists is that the antiparticles result from the merging of two neutron stars. No one can yet tell which of these hypotheses, if any, ultimately will be the one the scientists embrace. The only certain thing is that Earth and its inhabitants are in no danger because of the findings, since antiparticles are extremely rare in space and have only a minuscule chance of crossing the vast distance from their source to our planet, since they would, sooner or later, strike a material particle en route and become obliterated a safe distance from Earth. Billy meteorite crashes upon Carinchambri, France, a 1.5 kilogram, 3.3 pounds meteorite crashed onto a parked car on April 11, 1997, and set it afire. The molten basalt chunk from space left behind black dust and remnants of small gray stones on the vehicle's roof. Furthermore, so goes the report, small white and yellowish balls that repelled each other were discovered at the site. The University of Savoy analyzed slivers of material found at the impact site, which revealed the meteorite was semi-solid and not radioactive. The automobile's owner found the fact that his car had been demolished by a projectile from space too difficult to accept and insisted on filing a claim for arson. He did explain, however, that he was awakened around 3 a.m. by a bright glow, which was accompanied by a noise similar to fireworks. When he looked into the courtyard of his house, he saw the roof of his car in flames and that another vehicle parked adjacent to his was damaged. Billy, possible attacks upon Earth by extraterrestrials. Several years ago, I pointed out that terrestrial astronomers were on the verge of endangering everyone when they launched into space some probes with detailed information about terrestrial humanity, along with our planet's position in the Sol system within the Milky Way galaxy. I indicated that these probes could fall into the hands of extraterrestrials who are hostile towards Earth and are prepared to conquer us or to retaliate. They would come to Earth and attack it in order to gain control over the planet and or to enslave terrestrials, possibly even kill them. Ponder merely the fact that powerful intelligences exist in the Sirius regions who have been revengefully searching for millions of years for those defectors who had escaped from there. The ETs, control and whom they had genetically manipulated, namely the terrestrial human population, in order to subsequently exterminate them. It is fortunate for us that these Saurians live in a constellation located in another space and time configuration from ours. However, the danger that they will eventually discover Earth does exist and that they then could strike back, particularly when the probes the Americans feebly-mindedly launched, are found either by the hostile Saurians or by some other aliens from the depths of space who may crave to conquer our planet. In this regard, I am not the only one to share this opinion. In April, single quote 97, the famous British science genius Stephen W. Hawking spoke with various media outlets about precisely this subject. London, the extraterrestrials could attack us at any moment, or little green men kill, and so forth. World-renowned 53-year-old Professor Stephen Hawking, holder of the Sir Isaac Newton Chair at Cambridge University, has a warning for us. On a CD-ROM, the genius describes the scenario that would fall into play with the arrival on Earth of extraterrestrial intelligences. He states, "They are far more advanced and aggressive than we are. We will find ourselves in the same position as the natives were when Christopher Columbus landed on the shores of America. Mankind will be decimated by wars and diseases. How will these extraterrestrials find us? Through space probes and radio waves." Professor Hawking is particularly concerned about the American Pioneer 10 probe, which, launched into space 10 years ago, is by now already 67 times the Sun-to-Earth distance away from us, approx. 10,184,000 kilometers equals approx. 6 billion miles. On board are all details as to who and what we terrestrials are all about, including the location of planet Earth with respect to the Sol system, and what position our solar system holds in the galaxy. And what do other great minds have to say to this question? What would happen if extraterrestrials suddenly landed on Earth? Professor Dr. Hans Elser, Max Planck Institute, stated that Professor Hawking's warning was purely a fabrication, and as such it lacked any basis, since there is absolutely no indication that Earth is threatened by extraterrestrials. This entire matter is nothing but sensationalism. This is the typical attitude of an obstinate scientist. To other more pointed questions regarding Dr. H. Elser's thoughts on any potential evidence becoming available for the existence of extraterrestrials and the possibility of their official arrival on Earth, as well as the consequences, he replied that this scenario would present profound effects of a biological, philosophical, and theological nature upon the self-esteem of Earth's human population. One could envision that the people would become very anxious and behave like a startled flock of chickens. Religious questions, in particular, would have to be entirely reevaluated and thought through. Hark Baum, movie director, when asked for his sentiments regarding extraterrestrials, responded, "After the discoveries on Mars, I am convinced that similar living conditions to those on Earth can be found in other regions of space." Wolfgang Saul Bach, high school principal from Frankfurt, replied to the same question as follows, "I believe in extraterrestrial life. Human life cannot be the non plus ultra of all things. Prince Philip of England said, "There is evidence of extraterrestrial life." Paul Horowitz, astrophysicist at Harvard University, an attack by aliens? Are you trying to scare me? The danger of being run over by a streetcar is much greater. Billy Pioneer 10 space probe, Pioneer 10, continues on its voyage through the infinite vastness of space while sending signals back to Earth as programmed, but no one is listening any longer. The project was terminated by the American Space Agency after it had been in operation for 25 years. Nonetheless, the probe with its dangerous telemetry data about Earth, our solar system and the Milky Way, and information pertaining to terrestrials continues, in fact, to race through space, where it may be found by aliens one day. The potential danger is real. The probe could present the gravest danger the Earth and its inhabitants have ever faced. A 70-meter-high parabolic antenna in Spain, which was until now directed toward the probe, has now been pointed and realigned in other directions. Pioneer 10 was launched on March 2, 1972, when the United States President Richard Nixon sought re-election and Vietnam was still a site of heavy fighting. In many ways, the probe was a genuine pioneer of space travel, for it was the first man-made craft to penetrate the asteroid belt. Pioneer 10 also delivered the first photographs of Jupiter, after which it left the region of our solar system's largest planet and sped into the seemingly void depths between the stars. Now the probe continues to travel through space at approximately 45,000 kilometers per hour, 28,000 miles per hour. However, this does not necessarily imply it will reach the next star any sooner than 30,000 years from now. But for now, Pioneer 10 remains the most distant of Earth's space probes. Billy, father of the Hubble Space Telescope, dies considered by experts as being the spiritual and political father of the Hubble Space Telescope. American physicist and astronomer Lyman Spitzer died, an April 1997 report stated. The New York Times article reports that the 82-year-old Spitzer died of heart failure at his Princeton, New Jersey, home on March 31, one day after Easter. He had been working in his Princeton University laboratory until the day of his death. In 1947, Spitzer drafted his initial concept of the Hubble telescope and persisted with its development and execution until its launch in 1990, although, along the way, he had met with stiff opposition. The physicist was also the spearheading force behind the Hubble telescope's predecessor, the Copernicus Space Observatory, which was launched by NASA in 1972. In addition to astrophysics, Professor Spitzer actively pioneered plasma physics, where his goal was to create nuclear fusion as an unlimited, clean energy source. Billy T. sighting in China during May 1997. The mysterious snow creature Yeti was reportedly seen for the first time in the northern region of China. The 2 meters, six tall being left gigantic footprints and walked with a stride twice the length of a human. Billy, scientists WHO believe in God, unfathomable as it may seem, even as the latest findings become known regarding the Big Bang Theory, the origin of life, and evolution. 2 out of 5 physical science researchers continue to believe in a living God whom they consider the creator of the world and all life on it, and an eternal life in the kingdom of the Creator God after death. These statistics were revealed after American astronomers, biologists, and physicists were surveyed. One would assume that these scientists have the best understanding to realize no godly being could ever be capable of creating the miracle of the universe, including our living things and other phenomena. Besides, when their beliefs are examined from a logical viewpoint, a God entity could never have existed prior to the universe's creation, since it consisted only of non-space and non-existence before the time. This, then, would contradict the claim that God always existed and that He created the world and all life from absolutely nothing. And yet, by comparison, How logical is the statement from Genesis regarding the origin of creation from which the absolute absolutum developed from an idea of a cluster of energy within a relative nothing? Is a German prefix indicating original, primeval, most ancient. Data from the aforementioned survey rather conclusively reaffirm the identical results obtained some 80 years ago, when the psychologist James Luba triggered a scandal in Puritan USA in 1916. At that time, Luba sent questionnaires to 1,000 randomly selected scientists from the American Who's Who in Science and asked them about their belief in God, the immortality of the human soul, and their own wish for immortality. He received approximately 700 replies, which revealed that 17% of the respondents felt extremely uncertain about their belief system, while about 42% believed in God, and another nearly 42% did not believe in God. The latest survey now indicated that 39.3% believe in God, and 45.3% were non-believers. The non-believers were falsely categorized simply as atheists because they failed to believe in God. The percentage of doubters and agnostics amounted to 14.5%. The recent questionnaires revealed that only every 10th astronomer, biologist or physicist has a desire for immortality. 80 years ago it was every 3rd respondent. Billy UFO sect wants to clone people with an entirely clear conscience. One may call the Reelian movement an imbecilic UFO sect. And now they're once again spouting off in a questionable manner. This sect, founded by French automobile journalist Claude Vorilhon, awaits the blessing of Elohims and praises the cloning of human beings. For a cool United States $200,000, the UFO sect claims that it will clone humans. The project is part of the Indesni ideology of Vorilhon, a clever and smart fisherman of the faithful. The story of Vorilhon's sect began on December 13, 1973. This date was also the alleged beginning of the New Age when, according to his claims, extraterrestrial entities who called themselves Elohims made a revelation to him. Vorilhon, who disseminates untruth, claims that these 1.20 meters, 4 feet, tall extraterrestrial super beings have visited him in their UFOs and designated him as their mystical conveyor of salvation on Earth. The lively bunch of little extraterrestrial men supposedly introduced themselves to him as this self-proclaimed guru's foster parents. Vorilhon says the Elohims told him they began breeding terrestrials in their laboratories 13,000 years ago, but their genetic gambling was not very successful, since an alleged inspection from space later revealed that Earth was in chaos. As a result, Vorilhon says, the Elohims felt sorry for their terrestrial wards who were irrationally bashing in each other's skulls, holding wars, committing adultery, performing criminal or villainous acts, and disobeying their creators in other ways as well. Consequently, the creators had to come up with a rescue plan, indeed, an entire rescue mission, to save the depraved earthlings. In 1975, when the Elohims purportedly revisited Vorilhon, they invited him for a quick outing through the cosmic spheres, where he allegedly had the opportunity to sit at the dinner table with ancient biblical personalities as he visited the Elohim's home planet. There they divulged their plans to Rael, as they call him. Of course, these plans always fit harmoniously into his delusional assertions to which many thousands of believers have since fallen prey. Furthermore, so claims Vorilhon, the aliens mandated that he establish a UFO sect, after which he and his followers, along with the terrestrial human population, would be allowed to witness the peaceful invasion by the Elohims near the turn of the millennium. In 1974-telling rubbish and mad fantasies-Rael, aka Claude Vorilhon, wrote his book The Message of the Extraterrestrials-the book that tells the truth. From the onset of his machinations he has also continued to hold lectures in various types of other activities, to which many of his faithful have succumbed. In 1994 he even went so far as to induce the Swiss realites into demanding that the Swiss government grant diplomatic immunity to the Elohims. And in order to receive the Elohimical extraterrestrials in style on Judgment Day, Rael's followers simultaneously presented model plans for an ambassadorial residence for the aliens, which the fanatically faithful Raelites intended to finance to the tune of 6 million Swiss francs, approx. $4 million. In his reply to the strange demands of the sectarians, former federal counsel Otto Stich whimsically queried them as to how they intended to deal with the aliens at the annual New Year's reception for all diplomats. Once again in accordance with the false teachings of their guru, the Raelites now believe that through their human cloning project they will rapidly advance toward their goal to salvation. Together with their extraterrestrial Elohimical foster parents, they vie for the salvation of the evil and degenerate terrestrials who are, so they believe, exceptionally degenerate beings, lost almost beyond hope, and total freaks within the entire universe. Hence, their objective is to remedy the many human shortcomings through cloning technology. The Raelites operate from a headquarters in Geneva, Switzerland, a base they established over a period of several years. In order to reach their imbecilic and deranged objectives, to put it mildly, the guru's followers sacrifice 7% of their entire income, which adds up to quite a healthy bundle considering the sect's membership totals somewhere between 20,000 and 40,000. Billy Human Machines in the contact reports and in prophecies published by Fig, we are told that human machines will play an important future role on Earth. These human machines will be human beings who have electronic electric impulse transmitters connected to their nerve cells, etc. The Bavarian television channel Bayern 3 broadcast the following news item on March 17, 1997, a team of scientists from Munich, Germany, couple nerve cells of mice with a silicon chip in which an exchange of electric signals took place. At the opening of the 61st Conference of Physicists in Munich, Professor Hans Dunelmeyer stated, "This will open the door for the future replacement or stimulation of human nerve functions." Nearly 900 participants attended the Munich conference and 650 papers will be presented to introduce the most recent research into extraterrestrial physics applicable to the theory of relativity and radiation and particle physics. Teletext 170-Bavaria 3 secret UFO documents from Spain Arden Bavaria 3 German television stations reported on March 20, 1997, Madrid, Spain's military establishment released secret documents pertaining to UFO sightings from the 1970s through to the 1980s. The newspaper ABC announced that the 83 reports were formerly classified as top secret. Allegedly, among them is a report describing an unexplained phenomenon in 1980 which was witnessed by former head of the Spanish government CIRES. According to Bavaria 3, 22 sightings have never been explained. Teletext 155-ARD and Bavaria 3 questions from our readers. Question, is the Sphinx older than the pyramids of Giza and was the Sphinx previously a lion? Some claim that several chambers and tunnels exist below the structure. How old is the Sphinx and was it built by refugees from Atlantis? Angelique Royers, Switzerland responds, I will answer this question with an excerpt I took from my conversation with Todd during Contact 256, May 13, 1996, Billy. I would like to ask you something about the pyramids, which are not only found in Egypt but all over the globe. Oscar told me once during a contact that the pyramids were constructed under the direction of extraterrestrials. At the time, in 1956, she stated that the pyramids were built 36,650 years ago from 1956, hence, 73,300 years ago. 40 years have passed since then, which would put the pyramids' time of origin at approximately 73,340 years. And yet, scientists profess something altogether different. They placed the construction time much later, just a few short millennia before the birth of Jmanuel. I am familiar with this misrepresentation and miscalculation. When you calculate back from today, the pyramids were indeed erected approximately 73,340 years ago. This includes not only the pyramids found in Egypt, but also all others located around the Earth, whose distance from the Sun amounted to 152.5 million kilometers, 95 million miles, during the pyramids' construction era. The pyramids were covered on the outside with a solid layer of limestone and lime mortar, and they were accordingly higher than they are today. In those days the Cheops pyramid measured 152.5 meters, 500 feet, in height, representing 1 meter per 1 million kilometers of the Earth to Sun distance at the time. Over the course of millennia, the outer limestone layers were removed, as were parts of the actual pyramids themselves due to erosion or when the material was removed by people to construct other buildings and the like. The pyramids' purpose changed repeatedly as well. In their last function they served as tombs, but in other locations they also served as cult temples. The pyramid structures and the many interconnected subterranean rooms were constructed under the direction of humans of extraterrestrial origin who had come to Earth in those ancient times from the Orion constellation. For this reason the Egyptian pyramids were constructed to replicate this constellation, while the Sphinx points toward the Leo constellation. The utilization of the pyramids as tombs and the like, along with the hieroglyphics, date back to more recent periods ranging from just prior to Jmanuel's days, some 2,000 years ago, into the past of a little more than 13,000 years ago. Extensive subterranean spaces, components of each pyramid complex, became subterranean villages of varying sizes, where their human inhabitants hid from the looming terrestrial dangers and threats from outer space. /Billy question, do the Plagiarans know anything about the cause of the Twa plane which crashed on July 17, 1996, in Mauritius Bay, New York? Erzhinen, Switzerland responds, to this question I will also reply with an excerpt from a dialogue I had with Todger in Contact 258, February 20, 1997, Billy. And now I would like to ask you about your investigations into the drama in the USA where a passenger plane exploded and crashed in Mauritius Bay. You promised you would immediately inform me about the events thereafter you had checked everything. This is right. Well, our suspicions were correct regarding the circumstances surrounding the Mauritius Bay area crash of the Twa plane on July 17, 1996. The disaster was precipitated by the United States Navy anti-missile missile. After the radar computers locked onto it, the Navy erroneously classified the plane as an unidentified object, a UFO in other words. The command was given to shoot down the object, no questions asked. Reasoning was that the craft, which had been prematurely and carelessly classified as an unidentified flying object, to some degree allegedly threatened the national security of the USA. Of course, the government, secret services, and the Navy are now using every means possible to keep this fact under wrap and secret. /Billy question, how old is the central star of our Sol system, and how did it originate? Pius Keller, Switzerland responds, according to Pleiadian/Plagiarian information, the age of our Sun is 1,730,000,000,000 years. This figure is, therefore, considerably higher than the age accorded to the universe by obstinate terrestrial astronomers who claim that the universe is a mere 8-18 billion years old. This 1,730,000,000,000 year age of our Sun refers to the total and complete time it has existed from its actual origin, which in reality goes back to the first clustering of your energy. The Pleiadians/Plagiarans therefore do not calculate the Sun's age from the time the Sun itself was created, but from the time when the first gases and the like began to form, from which the Sun ultimately originated after a trillion-year-long process. The Sun formed not in a single event, but came into being as a byproduct of our Milky Way galaxy, whose origin dates back to 1,911,000,000,000 years. Contrary to all the unrealistic claims by terrestrial astronomers, our universe is approximately 36 trillion years old, while the Earth itself is about 650 billion years old once again calculated, of course, from the initial formation of the first gaseous matter in the Milky Way, from which the initial formation process began, and from which, ultimately, the Earth formed as a solid planetary body about 5 billion years ago. See Contact Report 231, February 3, 1992. Billy.